This is your host, Tofu Dave, with another edition of Between the Covers on your community radio station, WCOM 103.5, Chapel Hill, Ann Arbor. Let me tell you, I'm excited today. I hope you're not absent on the line. Mr. Hudson, are you there?
I'm here. Great to be here.
Well, Andrew Dana Hudson, the author of a new book on Soho Press called Absence. And, you know, Mr. Hudson, you are, I think, my kind of guy writing this. I love sci-fi. I've written every single book that Kim Stanley Robinson has ever written. You teach yoga. You write for Jacobin magazine. And I must give full disclosure and tell you I'm a lifetime subscriber of Jacobin magazine. So let me ask you, before, I don't want to give away the whole plot, but what was in your mind when you wrote this speculative fiction book on spontaneous human absence?
Yeah, I think the main message and theme I wanted to explore was these slow disasters that we've experienced over the last 10, 15 years. You know, in speculative fiction and sci-fi, apocalypses are often these very sudden events, and after that, everything's changed. And it seems to me that experiencing the unfolding of climate change, the years of the pandemic, the rise of fascism, that these were all very different from the way that dystopian apocalyptic stories that I read a lot of treated it, right? There wasn't one moment where everything changed. And for a lot of us, even though we knew there was a disaster happening, we still had to get up and live our lives and go to work and pay the bills and all these things. And so that was, I think, what I wanted to explore. I was thinking a lot about the particular ways that social change had unfolded during the pandemic. And I was riding my bike one day and hit on this idea to take the people disappearing into thin air motif that, we've seen elsewhere in the Thanos snap, right, is a big cultural example of it, and try to do that in a way that felt consistent with how I'd seen these sorts of events unfold in real life.
Yeah, I mean, there were so many, like, possible parallels, you know, as I was reading your book, of course, the whole thing of people spontaneously disappearing. I did think of the pandemic. I also thought of, Argentina during the Dirty War and, women in northern Mexico and all sorts of parallels like that. I'm not, obviously, you're writing fiction and you're not making direct parallels, but as I read the book, a lot of that stuff went through my mind. I don't know if that's partially also some of what you're thinking a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. It's been really interesting to see all the examples that my readers have found of real life events that they felt had some metaphorical, allegorical resonance with the event. You know, I had the idea of, for this spontaneous human absence that happens not all at once, kind of one by one by one, and you never know what's going to happen to you or someone you love or what happens after, as a kind of global planetary mystery around which to build more personal stories. And, you know, from there, there were a few moments where I was probably being a little more direct in my exploration of sort of parallel to real life, but really just the concept drove itself. And I think as a result, people can read a lot into it, and that's been really nice.
Yeah, that's sort of a good thing. Again, the book is called Absence, Andrew Dana Hudson, out on Soho Press. Well, you know, another thing, as I read your book, and this sort of gets into the Jacobin magazine kind of arena, is you did a real interesting thing. I wasn't sure reading it who to root for, because one of the things you have that really interested me is, as a result of the spontaneous disappearances happening, the governmental response is to create a bureaucracy, basically, to track these disappearances, to try to make sure they're true, they're not malfeasance and fraud, to give some sort of benefit payments to the survivors of those that disappear. And sort of, I guess, the main character in the book who we follow is a bureaucrat that his wife or girlfriend had disappeared from the face of the earth, and he ends up becoming an agent for what I think you call the Bureau of Depopulation Affairs, a big bureaucracy. And he goes out trying to, let's say, quote unquote, do the right thing, right? Be the honest cop. Make sure he's really checking stuff out and seeing what's happening is true. So that sort of interested me. Why did you think about this bureaucracy, and how did you choose to make this agent of the government sort of your main character?
Yeah, well, I like writing stories about bureaucrats because, and you know, if you've read a lot of some Stanley Robinson books, I think this is true there too. Stan writes books about bureaucrats because oftentimes they're the interface between democratic will and actual change in the real world, right? Uh-huh. He's a bureaucrat. He's sort of, you know, in some ways kind of an insurance kind of investigator, an inspector of different kinds, doing the paperwork. And I think the idea that we would need, or if not need, we would still create a big bureaucracy to manage this crisis was, again, just kind of ripped from the headlines, right? We had huge amounts of bureaucracy deployed around the pandemic, around vaccine distribution, right? All that got into the weeds so quickly, and we all learned and had to learn how to navigate those institutions, and that might be different from state to state or city to city, and those institutions were interfacing with federal guidance, and you know, there was all this going on.
Right, and I think you created a great figure, this guy Harvey. He's somebody who wants to do so much good, and he's a little obsessive, but then again, he's a little sort of confused about his role in life and in the world, and he's always sort of, I guess, metaphorically forgetting to take his gun with him, so mm-hmm. to speak. So I thought you did a great job, and I'm going to be a little circumspect, but when I got to the end,
I think any good ending leaves something for the reader to do, some conclusions for the reader to draw on their own. The books whose endings I think about all the time are ones that have a kernel of ambiguity, and where maybe it's not clear if it's a happy ending or a tragedy. And to some extent, you have to pass that judgment as the reader. And, you know, there are aspects to Harvey's choices at the end that I find, you know, sort of uncomfortable. And yet I've had readers being like, oh, I'm so glad that he landed in a good place at the end, right? But that for me is what is so interesting about it. And so without spoiling anything, I'll just offer my phrases to an open ending more broadly.
Okay, and again, Andrew Dana Hudson, author of Absence, out on Soho. Go to one other thing, and this again is more of a macro political question. You know, we get with these kinds of our hopes for the future. How can I live a life that will make me happy while I recognize that really sort of society has to change, the whole world has to change in order for everybody to live a more satisfying, just life, if I can put it that way.
Oh, that's you've struck upon a great human dilemma there that I don't know if I'm any better at solving in my own life, the balance between changing the world and being a part of larger movements and personal fulfillment and comfort. It's super hard. It's entirely possible to live a life of struggle for a better, more just world and come up empty. And there are plenty of people who don't try to do anything, who live their life and are very satisfied with it. I guess to speak to the book's take on this, I think one of the things that I wanted to highlight in the book is that even when we have crises and disasters, positive social change, particularly on the economic, political kind of arena, is actually really, really possible, right? You mentioned that they have various kind of government payments to the people left behind by those who disappear. That is part of a whole larger set of economic reforms that are mentioned in the book that really move us in a direction where people aren't feeling anxious about their economic survival. Money is not a huge driver of people's actions in this book, because we've created a society amidst this disaster that supports people, whether it's healthcare, where there's public transit, there's a lot of trains in the book. All of that for me was just an extension of some of the reforms that we passed in the early days of COVID, right? We sent stimulus checks straight to every American. We had the extended child tax credit that basically cut down child poverty by a huge amount. And then we rolled back that expansion and let child poverty resume its usual horrific course. And we didn't have to do that, but I think those moments show how much is possible, and that's something that I want readers to take away.
Well, Andrew Dana Hudson, author of Absence on Soho Press, well said, and I think our listeners can hear from this the kinds of things your future fiction book raises. Thank you so much for talking to the community radio audience and for joining us on Between the Covers for this literature quickie. Any last words, Mr. Hudson, for our audience?
No, I hope your readers enjoy the book. Thanks for having me on.
I'm sure they will. And again, this is your host, Tofu Dave, on your community radio station. Stay with me next week for another edition of Between the Covers, a literature quickie. WCON FM, Chapel Hill, Carver.